the third class, and it's on the Oracle of the Grail. And it's different than the first two. There are eight that align specifically with the energy centers, and then each of the energy centers is coupled in twos. The first two, the Oracle of Desire and the Oracle of Knowing, are actually one being. And this third one that we're working with, the Oracle of the Grail, defines that being. So it's a good metaphor to look at here is how these come together. It's very much like a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. The subconscious mind of this first being would be the Oracle of Desire. It's the base part of it. The conscious aspect is the Oracle of Knowing. And so, if you just think of it as a head and a body, desire gets directed by knowing. Okay, it's like I desire this, but I know it's not that good for me. So, I'm gonna channel that energy differently, rather than just letting the desire. And it's very important to understand that we're working with a pyramid here. Desire has the most energy within our consciousness.
We noticed it.
Yeah.
Along the way.
Yeah. Desire has got the most energy. Knowing has the second most energy.
Really?
Now, knowing is not in the intellect. This is the intuitive knowing. And this is the knowing that comes from experience. This is the kind of knowing where you go, I know that. And it has that strength of knowing. Right? And it's the place where you go, I'd really love to go buy a bottle of Jack Daniels. And I know that if I do that, I'll be suffering from it for the next 2 weeks. So I'm not going to do that. And sometimes it takes a lot of years for the knowing to become strong enough
to overcome the desire.
And the knowing doesn't evolve unless we pay attention. Because you can block that knowing, if you're not wanting to know what you know, which we all do all the time. Okay, you can see.
Is it called denial?
You're gonna be seeing denial pretty soon.
We are.
Egypt. Denial.
Very good.
Yeah, that's really kind of an old one.
Denial.
Denial. Down in denial. You can see the grail aspect here in these two. If we look at the two ascendants, and you can see it in all of them, but the ascendants is most clear, and the ascendants are actually part of the grail, incorporated in the grail identity. And the first one is letting go, which is sort of a releasing. And the second is acceptance, which forms the grail. Okay? And so that is the theme of that level, is becoming an empty vessel. And if you look at it, you can see the dichotomous challenge there, because we tend to be full of our desires and full of our knowing. Okay? So letting go and acceptance are the part that allow us to rise up out of those levels, right? And it's very challenging on one hand, until you begin to understand how it works. The reason that the grail forms on that level is because that's where all the ballast is. That's where you have something to let go of. That's where you get to participate in this process. Because we have a lot of knowing and a lot of desire to let go of. It's a very powerful thing. And actually, the whole form that we work with actually evolves out of this grail. The whole of our form evolves out of the grail. This area where the oracle of the grail occurs is where we define the grail. In the next two levels, it's a place where we fill the grail, and then we dedicate the grail, and then the grail becomes something entirely different as we transcend the vessel, as we transcend form. Not hard work. The teachers say this is easy, and it is. What is hard is chasing after our desires.
No, yeah.
What is easy is letting them go. The only thing you have to overcome is all your survival instincts.
That's it?
Yeah,
that's
they
it.
Are.
They're
yeah.
very powerful.
Yeah, but the truth.
Can you do all this tonight?
we could if we would.
Yeah, it's true.
As I work with these elements, the thing that I learn is that there's a learning process going on in me, and it all kind of boils down to permission. And as I get permission to let go, it in part is understanding how it works. It's like, you mean I can do this? Yeah, not only can you do this, but your life will work better. Okay.
Well, that part's true. I know that.
Yeah. As you begin to see that your life works better, and as you get to see that as you let go of those baser desires, higher, more refined pleasures become part of your experience. You know, here's this desire, this base sexual desire, where you're in pursuit of this opposite who attracts you. Okay? And there's a certain amount of pleasure in that. There's also a certain amount of work, and there's usually a certain amount of grief. There's always a certain amount of grief. Okay. When we begin to get that, as we let go of that desire that runs us, we can actually move into an experience of being in love with everything. Right? As we begin to actually have that experience, something inside of us goes, oh, this is great. And as we begin to see, gosh, the things that we need, as I let go here, the things that I need are being drawn to me. I've always wanted to go to Egypt, but the possibility of it was not even there. And then in this experience of letting go, boom, somebody says, I'd like to pay for your trip to Egypt.
Okay? Twice a year. And you get there twice a year. You were here there a year
or so ago. No, you're not. Yeah. But I had a strong desire to go to Greece, to Delphi.
Okay.
I had
there
to let it go because there was no possibility.
And see, the thing about that is that we forget. After we have that experience, we forget. We don't connect the dots. We don't see that this happened because we let go.
Right.
Because the dots that connect it are not in the material world. And they don't make logical sense. Because according to the physics that our whole world is based on, called cause and effect, you're supposed to be able to see the cause of everything. And what we're doing here is letting go. And when we let go, we create, and we create that the grail. Now they speak of the grail, okay? And we think of it as a cup, all right? But what it really is more like a vacuum. It's like the center of the hurricane, okay? The pattern that we work here, the Doth pattern, the theme of Doth is the unity of opposites. And that's how those weather patterns get set up. That's how a hurricane gets set up. That's how a tornado is created. There's a meeting of cold and warm air. And when they come together, they form a relationship. And that relationship creates a spiral. Well, each of us is the merging of male and female energies, right in a left brain. And every time we go into a meditation, we are participating in the unity of those two aspects of ourselves. That's exactly what is shown in the codex. And when we do that, we begin to set up an energy pattern around ourselves that we don't see.
You set up the energy patterns on that, and the ascension would be the cosmic orgasm, possibly.
Well,
I say that in a way.
Ascension would be like the building of the orgasm. The actual orgasm is transcendence.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It transcends what we understand as sensation on
exactly.
any level.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
The ascension is the orgasm.
Yeah. Since you bring it up, there are four of the beings that we work with, four of the oracles that we work with, are like capstones or larger identities. And here we're dealing with a subconscious mind, angel of desire, conscious mind, angel of knowing, oracle of desire, oracle of knowing, and then the one that is that total desire is the oracle of the grail. Okay? The other four is the oracle of the grail, oracle of wholeness, which is what comes out of the grail. As you create the grail, then the grail fills, not by your will, but by your getting out of the way, it fills with something that is beyond your consciousness. Then there's the oracle of ascension, and then there's the oracle of transcendence. And so that's the sequence that we're working with here. Grail, wholeness, ascension, and transcendence. Okay.
Would you define transcendence a little more?
Transcendence is transcending the material illusion, transcending the experience of individuality and separation. Where, yes, we are still in this physical body, but we are experiencing ourselves as one being. Okay? We are no longer in the experience. And you can ascend to a very high level and still be in an experience of separation. Okay? Transcendence is a total letting go.
And sometimes in meditation, do you sometimes glimpse that, feel that?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Every time that you have a meditation, you'll tap into all of those.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into a deep meditation,
mm-hmm.
We're just, and they because they're part of this mechanism. We're talking about is these aspects of consciousness which are part of this mechanism, which is our body and our emotions and our mind. And transcendence is the place where symbolically we become, we come into that perfect form, which is the Merkaba. See, to transcend form, you come into the perfection of form, which is energetically the Merkaba. And as you come into that Merkaba, you move into resonance with every other thing, which is also a Merkaba. And once you begin to resonate with the whole, you transcend the holographic creation. And you become one with all of it, which you already are. This is about becoming conscious of it.
So what happens to allow the transcendence? What happens physically with the chakras in relation to the body to allow that to happen?
Well, it's a sequence of letting go,
from each chakra?
In each of the centers. And there's a depth. Now, you can transcend from any of these levels. You could transcend focusing only on desire. Okay?
Would that be a vibrational? Changes that, it all deals with vibration.
Absolutely. But the reason that we don't work just with desire is, number one, desire is a very challenging energy to come into a spiritual relationship with. It should be included, and there are teachings that focus entirely on desire. Okay, And if a person happens to be a master of that particular teaching, then they can facilitate others in also going through it.
That's what Crowley was involved with, Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, well, I don't know how transcendental that guy was.
No, I mean from the standpoint
I don't think his motives were altogether spiritual.
He was using energies that were
when you get into magic. As you work on your spiritual path and you begin to realize, oh, there's power here. It's very easy for the ego to step in and begin to play a control game. It's like, oh, look at all these advantages that I can have in this world by playing this game.
A lot of the yogis get into their illusions also.
That's right.
And
Crowley most certainly falls into that category. Okay, let me, I want to finish Nancy's question because I didn't finish it. The other reason that we don't stick with just one element has to do with the way the ego is able to manipulate our consciousness. And as we're working with desire, the ego finds out what we're doing. And for the sake of self-preservation, it begins to sabotage our efforts. And it is very, very, very difficult. So just about the time that the ego thinks it's figured it out, then we switch off. It's also where the power of the four words that we work with here in these individual initiations are so effective, because they match the ego so perfectly that the ego can't see itself in them. You can't see how it becomes this perfect match for the ego, and the ego actually moves into the pleasure of the resonance the way it resonates to the ego, and in its own pleasure, it dissolves itself. If you could get that. But here's the trick. Let's take desire for a moment, because it's the easiest. Desire, when we think of desire, we think of all the stuff we desire. But what we're doing is we are taking an aspect of ourself, which is desire, and we're projecting it onto that person, onto that thing, onto that condition. And then what we're adoring and what we're actually seeking after is our own energy, which is what we're seeking after all the time anyway. And the teachers tell us, you know, the only thing you've ever been looking for is your own self, right? Well, in desire, we project ourself, that part of ourself which is desire, onto this other thing, and then we pursue that thing. Mm-hmm. And the only reason we're pursuing that thing is because we projected our energy on there, and now we got to go after it. Because and we no longer feel whole because we've projected it out there. And then when we get to that, we feel like, oh, now I'm whole. Yes, silly. You 2 seconds worth. And then they leave with a piece and you're running after them, mm-hmm. until someday you just cut that cord and take that back, if you ever do. Some people can go a whole lifetime incomplete because they projected and were unable to reconstruct themselves out of that experience. But they did that. Nobody else did that. It wasn't that thing. But that thing, particularly people, can resonate so perfect, sometimes in an opposite way that complements us, that we just, when that happens, we feel that resonance and we just dump all this desire over there. Well, that's generally how we work with desire and how we experience desire. But to transcend through desire or any of these other energies, it's about doing just the opposite. It's about becoming one with the experience of desire. Okay? And that's a very, very challenging thing to do, because we're programmed to want to project everything out here. All of our senses go out there, mm-hmm. right? And our survival mechanism is about out there. It's fear-based. In order to survive, we need this stuff. We need these relationships. We need. Spirituality flies in the face of everything we know. And so in this work, when we work with desire, when that experience of I am wanting comes up, here's this statement says, I am wanting. And so what do you think of when I'm wanting? Go, I am wanting this and this and this and this, okay? But the deeper teaching here is I am this energy of wanting. This is who I am. And as I become one with any one of my energies, I become one with all of my energies. So as we're moving up here through these cycles, the initial plan here was to spend 4 weeks on each oracle. Okay, and everybody was so overwhelmed by the idea of a 48-week commitment that we said, you know, we're asking too much here. So we backed off. But 4 weeks is really very minimal. You could honestly take any one of these beings that we're working with and spend your entire lifetime with it and never probably get all there is to get. It just, there's more and more and more and more. The key is going to depth. That is the key. So as we go through here, one of these may just really resonate to you. You may go, God, that one really works for me. Well, this is sort of like a, you know, one of those, the taste of Atlanta, where you go and you get to sample all the best dishes from the best restaurants. You know, and all you're getting is you're just getting a little taste here. And please don't think that you're getting anything like the whole thing. This is just a little hors d'oeuvre that we're dealing with here. You could take any one of the tapes that we're working with and use that tape for a year, every day, and at the end of the year, if you were devoting yourself to the process present there, you would still be getting more out of it.
I noticed that every time I listen to the tape, I've only purchased one so far, I hear something new every time. Yeah.
So that
I didn't hear before.
That's the key of transcendence.
Okay.
The key of transcendence is going to depth. Okay.
Okay.
So we're dealing with the first two chakras, the base chakra and the navel here. We're dealing with the form of a grail, a cup. When we work with a meditation, I like to work with a very, very fine crystalline grail myself, because when we get down into those essential levels, we're dealing with resonance and sound. And that crystalline grail gives you an opportunity to use that image to attune to the resonance of your own being. So I find that to be a valuable one to work with. The color of the grail is silver. It's kind of like an everything and nothing color. It's silver.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? I am so attracted to that. I'm looking for the right shape.
Yeah.
Waterproof crystal.
The thing about fine crystal, fine glass, above and beyond the physical beauty of it, is the resonance. And that's the thing about that. And it's also the thing with natural crystals. It's all about resonance. That's where the attraction is. You know, the baubles that we wear have these crystals in them. We call them gems. But above and beyond their physical beauty, the pleasingness to the eye, it's about resonance. And that's why they have such a value to us. And all the metaphors are there, but once you realize that the value is resonance, now you have an understanding of what we're here to do. We are here to transcend. We come into the physical form, into the illusion, to transcend. And we're literally trapped here. I like to use this example, because I saw it so many times in so many ways when I was working with people in their past life experience. Imagine yourself in a room. This is a beautiful room. Gorgeous room. It's filled with very interesting objects. And it's like a museum. And you're just traveling through this room, checking everything out, enjoying the beauty. Okay? And then boom. Iron bars come down over all the windows and doors. Okay? And that's what our human experience is like here on Earth. Now, you can relate to it in this one lifetime, but there is a lifetime back there someplace where that experience happened very dramatically. Okay, there's certain things in this lifetime that'll trigger that, and some of them are very dramatic, and some of them are so subtle you can hardly even see what it was.
Can you give us an example of an experience like that?
Well, I'll give you two examples of people that I've worked with where this came in. I worked with a woman who, as a young girl, her parents were into satanic worship. Okay. As a very young child, she was forced to take part in satanic rituals wherein this child not only was forced to have sex with the older members of this cult, but actually had to witness the sacrifice of animals and babies. Okay? Now, this is the, in my experience, that's an extreme. Okay? And when you need to hold a loving space for somebody that's trying to go back and reestablish a relationship, you get to learn a lot about neutrality. Okay? I've also got reference points of people who that veil came down based on a look that they got from their parent. Just a look. Just a look. And it just happened to be that the time and the place and the conditions were such that the energies, their karmic energies were lined up where that look matched that in such a way that it just dropped in like that. And so there's the extremes. You know, here's this thing that is difficult to even hear, let alone go through, and here's this other thing where it's so subtle we don't even understand what it's about. Mm-hmm. But believe me, the person with the look was much more stuck than the other one, because at least the other one had something that that people in general would go, oh my God, how terrible. Mm-hmm. No. Where this other one couldn't even explain their trauma because they couldn't even understand why that happened themselves. You know, where's the trauma there? Nobody sees it. Mm-hmm. Right? But both of them had extreme experiences of victimization. And that's basically what happens when those bars come down on our reality. Okay, so here we are on Earth, flitting around, isn't it wonderful, the sky is blue, yada-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden we realize, oh shit, I can't get out of here. I don't care how pretty this room is. I don't care how wonderful it is. I'm stuck here. So then we start frantically trying to, you know, test the bars and, you know, here's this beautiful object of art, you know, can I use it to pry the bars open with? I mean, we now no longer have the same objective. The objective is getting out.
Sometimes we put the bars up there ourselves because of the program.
Of course we do.
Yeah.
The whole nature of our trap is based on the fact that we are creators, and the mechanism out of which we create is substandard. In other words,
sometimes on purpose.
Well,
not with us. I mean, can be with us, but some of the programming that we've been getting for the so-called leaders, religious, political, the ones behind the scene and everything. They create these bars using psychological bodies.
Well, certainly, and...
That's true, Don, but isn't it interesting that this incredible game that we've set up for ourselves,
mm-hmm,
in order to transcend as...
Oh, sure. The thing with that part, Don, where we are getting help from outside of ourselves, let's say misinformation, okay? They intensify the experience, but it's kind of like this moment that we're in now, let's take a piece of rubber. Our consciousness, our egos are like rubber. Okay.
Is it like we can choose to play or not? We can either witness it or we can get involved.
Well, let me use this metaphor of rubber. Okay. Our consciousness is just enormously resilient, and rubber is a good metaphor. Okay. What's happening now is the pressures, they're literally vying for our souls in such a way that the density of our consciousness, that rubber, is beginning to become brittle. Okay? And when it gets from, in some of us, it's already there. Some of us, it's already broken. Okay? But when it gets brittle enough, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing people break. Okay? Now, let's say in an Alzheimer's patient, okay? Most of those people, the resiliency of their consciousness has broken, but they don't have a reference point to be free. Freedom takes the form of, I'm trying to get back to that place where life was what it's supposed to be. But as we begin to actually transcend, nothing is the way it seems. Mm-hmm. See? And they're starting to have an experience where all times and spaces are converging on one another. And they're not having a good experience of it because they're the victim of it. It's like a wave, right? Here's this wave and it's just beating the crap out of you, right? It just, here's this riptide pulling you out. Well, if you fight, it'll pull you down. But if you allow it to pull you out.
Where'd they cross my line going with the flow?
Yeah. And so we're learning to let go here. As you become aware of how tightly confining the world is, how they're really clamping everything down, if you're paying really close attention, you realize there's no way out. You know, maybe if you could manage to shipwreck yourself on an ideal island, you know, with a couple really compatible people, but you'd end up with a nightmare there too, of a whole other kind. The whole program that we're set with is so futile. We're not getting out of this room. We're not getting out of this room. The only way out is to transcend the illusion of the room. And so when your hands are bloody and all the objects of art are broken and you've totally given up on getting out of this room, what are you going to do? You're going to sit down. And that's where people on a spiritual path are. They've given up. Now, what happens is you begin to bring that spiritual energy in, and the ego says, oh, things are working. Things are working. Right? So the bars start to open up a little bit. They start to dissolve. Then the ego rushes for the bars, and they're right back in place. Because it doesn't realize what it's doing. And here we are working with this aspect, which is the grail, and that's the beginning of it, the emptying of the self. Okay. So when we work with this one tonight, we're going to work differently. This is about a process of a different kind of a breath. We're going to begin, we'll do the in-breath and the out-breath, okay, on letting go and acceptance. Okay. But then the second time around, we're going to do a different kind of breath, an And it goes like this. You breathe in, I am. Out breath, letting go. I am accepting and fulfilled. I am not. Now, I am not empties the grail. Letting go, I am letting go, prepares. I am accepting, forms the grail. I am fulfilled, we fill the grail. It's we affirm the fullness of the grail, the intent of the grail to be full. But then, I am not is not an ascendant, like letting go lifts us. This is a transcendent. You see how I am not moving consciously into denial of self? And what you're saying here energetically is, I am letting go. I am accepting. I am fulfilled. And I am not the one fulfilling me. Do you see that? Okay. I am letting go. I am accepting. I am fulfilled. I am not. Letting go is letting go. Acceptance forms that crystalline grail. Fulfilling, I am fulfilled, fills that grail. And I am not empties it of self. And then we just attune to the resonance that is present when all that we are is no longer there. Don't you feel how this flows into the next level? I am not is a letting go. Just go ahead and close your eyes. I am, in breath, letting go. I am accepting. I am fulfilled. Fill all the way up. I am not. Just let it all drain out and hold in that place where you're in the empty grail. And then as the next breath comes in, the next breath will be, I am appreciating. That's the next ascendant. And see, it's only when you let go completely that you can receive the gift of life and move into appreciation.
The I am not for me creates the vacuum.
Okay. Let me explain the I am not just a little bit, because it can be tricky. The I am not resonates with the inferiority complexes of the child. Okay? And this is not that I am not. This is not the I am not of the child. This is the transcendent I am not. This is the self-sacrificing aspect that allows us to come into unconditional love. This would be there's the I am not, it goes like this. I am not of the child. Then there's the I am of the adult. And it comes back to the I am not, which is the I am not of the parent. You see how the parent does the I am not? Just the same as the child does the I am not, only it's entirely different. The child comes in feeling inferior. Its I am not is a feeling of smallness and insignificance. The I am not of the parent is an expression of maturity. In other words, I can get out of the way here to support this child. And if the adult does that properly, then the trauma of childhood is greatly minimized.
I didn't feel that the vacuum was a negative.
Okay.
It felt like it was ready to receive.
Yeah. I just mention that because it tends to come up where it resonates with the child. But it is creating the vacuum. The I am not is just the dropping of the energy out of it,
mm-hmm.
so that now you can receive.
Yep, fill up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Any questions on that?
This correlates very powerfully with the breath thing I've been doing the last 2 weeks with this guy from California. Been in it for 25 years. The releasing, and then you don't pull it back in, it just comes in, the air comes back in.
Right.
And it's a breath of life, it comes back in. And it reconnects all the way up.
Yeah.
And you do your, you know, diaphragm breathing, but you beat the chest, you don't try to beat, but you just let it flow.
Let it come in.
And
that part of you, when you do that, that wants to pull the air in, because it takes discipline. Because
mm-hmm.
part of you